In this season of Thanksgiving, I have a confession to make. It's not one of those confessions that's going to get me fired or create a big stir. But I get annoyed by thankless people. I suspect that you have had your run-ins with thankless people, but I can think of a couple occasions very recently when I just found myself just a little ticked off at people's rudeness. Sue and I were driving up Broadway a week or so ago, and we got to Benedict, or we were the other side of Benedict, and there was a lot of traffic, and it was backed up for a little ways, and there was a car on Independence Street, which is a couple blocks down from the Benedict light, and they wanted to turn on to Broadway. But it was obvious to me that they would never do it because the traffic was just going and going. And so I stopped the car and held up traffic behind me so this person could turn in front of me. Now, admittedly, it was no huge sacrifice on my part, but the driver turned, didn't wave, didn't nod, didn't do anything else, and I just found myself a little ticked off. I mean, here I had done a kindness and it was unnoticed. And just this week, Monday or Tuesday, it was fairly early in the morning. I went to the YMCA to work out, and it was a little bit nippy. So as I was coming out of the Y after having worked out, being a little sweaty, I noticed how cold it was outside. And there were two people coming in from the parking lot. And so I thought, they're coming in from the cold. I'll hold the door open for them as they come in. And I was in my shorts and kind of chilled, but I held the door open, and they walked in. They didn't even look at me. They didn't wave. They didn't say hi. They just walked in like I was a doorstop, holding the door for them. I was annoyed. Now, I have to tell you that probably my annoyance is more of a problem of my own heart than their hearts, but or at least as much a problem of my own heart as it is their hearts. But there is something that's a little rude when people do something nice for you and you don't acknowledge it. But this morning when we talk about Thanksgiving, the issue of Thanksgiving is much more important than an issue of politeness or rudeness. It really has to do with spiritual vitality, spiritual health. I just realized I never dismissed the kids to children's church. Let me dismiss the kids. I see Steve waiting for them. So you're dismissed. I'm sorry, kids. You're missing out on something good here, but you'll get something good back there. Sorry, Steve. Like I said, when it comes to being thankful, it's more than just a matter of annoyance or politeness or courtesy. When it comes to thankfulness to God, it's a spiritual matter, a matter of spiritual vitality. As most of you know, we have just completed the whole life fitness emphasis. We preached on it, small groups talked about it, you had study guides to take you through it. And the purpose of the whole life fitness was spiritual well-being, spiritual fitness. And in the course of the weeks that we spent together, I hope you were challenged and encouraged to go deeper with God. Because as God is at the center of your life, that will make a difference in your attitude of gratitude. You know, we've talked about it. We talked about how with whole life fitness, it's not just what you do with God on a Sunday morning that matters. If you're given to God heart and soul, it's going to flow into your work life, into your family life, into everything you do, because it is all His. And people who have a whole-souled trust in God can't help but be thankful. Now, I say that for two reasons. First, if you really have confidence and trust in God, then you will recognize in your life that God is in control of your life. When I was a teenager, my sister, who's a couple years older than I am, she got into something for a little while that was, I still remember, it's kind of an attempt at humor. And my sister has a good sense of humor. I'm not sure this was a good example of it. But there was a time in my early teenage years when my sister took credit for things that were not hers to take credit for. Like, for example, someone would say, "Isn't it a beautiful day?" And my sister would say, "Well, thank you. Thank you very much." Or, "Isn't the sunset gorgeous?" And she'd say, "Yes, thank you." And, you know, she realized how ridiculous it was to take credit for something that was not hers. But we do it all the time. We live our lives as if we are the captains of our own soul, the master of our universe, as if it all depends on us. But the reality is, we're not the ones in control. Oh, we control certain things, but in time we discover that even the things we think we control, we don't really control, because a downturn in the economy, a bad diagnosis from the doctor, and everything that we thought we had control over in our lives ceases to be in our control. Now, when we give ourselves wholly to God, we begin to realize that we aren't in control, that God is the one who is in control. And he's in control when things are going great. And he's even in control when things aren't going so great. I mean, he's in control when things are going awful. And some of you really need to hear that this morning, because as you look at your life, you're thinking, "I don't know what to be thankful for this morning, because I'm looking for work, things are tight financially, it's a struggle in our family," and whatever it is, you think of all the red flags that are out there, and it's hard to be thankful for it. And yet, this morning in Sunday school, we read Romans chapter 8. And there's a verse in Romans chapter 8 that probably all of you have heard. "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." That's true when you're in control. And it's even more important when you've lost control. God is promising that in your pain, in your struggle, in the difficulties you're facing, God is working out something. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure when you'll find out. But if you've got a whole-souled confidence in God, you can be thankful even when things are awful. So, when it comes to spiritual fitness, people who are committed to God wholly can't help but be thankful, because they know God is in control and he's working everything out according to his plan for the good of those who love him. It's another reason why, if you find yourself wondering, "How can I be thankful? Why should I be thankful?" If you've got a full commitment to God, you recognize ultimately that you're dependent on him. Again, once you understand that he's in control, then it's not hard to understand that you are dependent. It is so easy for us to lose sight of that, however. I mean, we figure, "I earn the paycheck, I bring it home, I am responsible for how my family does." It's easy to think that we are the ones who are dependent only on ourselves. But again, just a slight change in life, and we realize our own self-sufficiency is not very sufficient. There's a song that I suspect some of you know. I hope you know, because I'm going to make you sing it with me, and I'm not going to sing it very well, so you have to sing better than me. It's a little table grace. It goes like this. For health and strength and daily food, we praise your name, O Lord. See if you can do that. For health and strength and daily food, we praise your name, O Lord. Once again. For health and strength and daily food, we praise your name, O Lord. Good. I'm going to just see if this is dangerous, but I'm going to start you guys. We'll do it in the round of three and just see if you can, if you've learned it well enough. Okay. So for health and strength, for health and strength, for health and strength and daily food, we praise your name, O Lord. Pretty good. Pretty good. That little table grace, that little song, is a way in which we acknowledge that we're dependent on Him. I mean, you say, I work out. I try to eat well. I take care of myself. So my health is dependent on me. I think there are a bunch of people here who could say, I've been there, done that, and the doctor gave me news that I didn't expect. No, we're ultimately dependent on God. And you may go to the workplace and you may work hard and you may bring home a paycheck and you may recognize that you've contributed to this meal, but you didn't grow the food. You didn't process it. I mean, there's so much that it would take for you to eat that meal that you have nothing to do with. Now, ultimately, none of us is independent. We're dependent on other people, and ultimately, we're dependent upon God. And so, when we understand that God is in control and we're dependent upon Him, if we're committed to Him, we can't help but be thankful. In our whole life fitness, we talked about lives that are committed to God in the workplace and at home with our mind, our emotions, every aspect of our lives. Are you spiritually healthy? If you went to the doctor and you wanted to know if you were physically healthy, the doctor would take blood tests. He'd ask you diagnostic questions. Are you having difficulty breathing? Are there any aches and pains? And through all that, the doctor would say, okay, you're in pretty good shape, or better start getting the will ready, and whatever, wherever you are in that process. If you want to know if you're spiritually healthy, people who are spiritually healthy have an attitude of gratitude. It's not that we necessarily, it's not necessarily what we say, it's in how we feel. And we may feel grateful even though things in our lives are chaotic or they're not what we would like. Because if we recognize that I'm dependent on God and God is in control, things may be out of control in my life, but they're not out of control for God, so I can still be thankful. In fact, I can be more thankful because I have no hope in myself, but if God is really in control, then I know this is going to work out. People who are committed to God can't help but be thankful. So, this morning, are you thankful? If you're not, I can think of two reasons why you may not be. One may be because as you think about it, you're not really committed to God. Remember back at the beginning of our Whole Life Fitness series, Steve talked about how understanding God, knowing Him with your mind, is very important. And he one of the passages he preached from was Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And Romans 1:21, I think it's up on the screen, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But in their thinking, they became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. People who know God, really know God, will glorify God. And people who glorify God can't help but be thankful to him. Now, in the context of Romans chapter 1, these people he's talking about are people who knew God just from reputation. They knew God by walking outside and seeing a sunset and saying, this didn't happen by accident. But though they knew that, that's as far as it went. It didn't change their lives. For us, hopefully for you, if you know God, you recognize he's the creator. You've also decided, I'm committed to him. And I want to glorify him. And so you resonate with that verse. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You're ready to do that because of what God has done for you. But if you're not thankful, maybe one of the reasons you're not thankful is because you've never really embraced God as your Father. You've never realized that he has done everything possible so that you can have a relationship with him. He has sent his son who died for you, who paid the price for your sins on the cross, so that you can be his child. If you've never entered into a personal relationship with God, well, then God's more of a distant thought. But he's not. He's a personal God who knows you and he loves you and he's working things out for your good, for his plan, and you can trust in him. So maybe what you need to do, maybe someone here needs to start a relationship with God today. You just need to acknowledge your sin and his forgiveness, what he offers to you. But maybe you've already done that and you still find yourself not particularly thankful. And that may be because, as we talked about with our whole life fitness, you have overrated other things and underrated God. Instead of God being at the center of your life, something else is at the center. Your comfort, your health, your family. God becomes kind of an assist to these things that are at the center, but he's not at the center controlling those things. If something else is at the center of your life, the Bible calls that sin. Because instead of being committed to him, you're committed to that, and that becomes the controlling factor in your life. And maybe what you need to do today is just confess that to God. To say, Lord, you know, I realize I've been more concerned about my health and my comfort and my well-being than I am about you and what you want. And if I have to be uncomfortable for you to accomplish your purposes, I'm willing to do that. Maybe some of us need to do that this morning. But if you know God, not just about him, but you know him as your Father. And as your Father, you recognize that you want him to be at the center of your life, and you've committed yourself to follow him. Thanksgiving is a natural byproduct. And you can't help but just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you've done for me. Those of you who are baseball fans may be familiar with the name Gary Carter. If you're Mets fans, you're probably familiar with the name Gary Carter, because Gary Carter was one of the greater New York Mets. Back in 2003, Carter was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Even if you're not much of a baseball fan, but you pay much attention in the news, you may remember that it was back in 2003 that Gary Carter, who is only 57 years old, died of brain cancer. I didn't know much about him because I didn't grow up in New York and I was never a Mets fan. And so my first knowledge of Gary Carter was when all these sportscasters were talking about Gary Carter. And what little I learned about him, I learned as they were talking about him after he had died. And it seemed like all these secular sportscasters had this consistent statement about Gary Carter. He was an upstanding man. He was a man of faith, a man of integrity. Those things kept echoing around the time of his death. So it didn't really surprise me, but it interested me when I heard at least part of his induction speech in 2003. Let me just read you a portion of it. Gary Carter said this, "I want to take the time to thank the most important people in my life. Above all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A great verse that spoke to me while I was writing my speech kind of explains why it's all about what it's all about. It's from Psalm 118. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the strength of my salvation and my stronghold. I will call on the Lord who is worthy of praise." Then Gary Carter said, "I praise the Lord my God, my best friend, for giving me the ability, the desire, and the guidance that has brought me here today." And on that day when Gary Carter was being honored by the Baseball Hall of Fame, he said, "God, without you, I would be nothing." That is an understanding that people who have a whole-souled trust in God can't help but realize. They recognize God is in control. And they are dependent upon Him. And it's because of that that they demonstrate that attitude of gratitude that flows from hearts filled with the good things that He has done. Men and women who understand what Gary Carter understood. God, without you, I am nothing. Let's pray together. Father God, all that we have, all that we are, is because of all that you are and all that you have done. And it's because of that, this day, that we sing how great thou art, how worthy of praise you are. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing, all that you have done, and all that you have yet to do. And it's in Jesus' name that we thank you and pray. Amen. I am really thankful on this Thanksgiving Sunday that my message is not just followed up by a benediction, but it's followed by the opportunity that we have to give thanks. And a few weeks ago, actually probably over a month ago, Jenna Velez had come to me and she had asked if she could give a testimony about what God had been doing in her life. And even since the time she came to me, life kind of took some curves in her road. But a couple weeks ago, she came to me and said, I still want to do this. I'd still like to share with you. And so I asked her to share her story with you as a, kind of a follow-up to what we just heard. So Jenna, would you come?
Good morning. I'm really nervous, so I'm not going to look at you. I'm just going to read my paper. But if I do look at you, make a funny face at me. Okay. I have a more unusual testimony of Thanksgiving this morning. I want to thank God that I'm not in control of my life. Over the course of the last few years, I've been confronted with this fact again and again. I can't say that it was my natural or even my initial reaction to be thankful for the painful things that I've gone through. Nevertheless, I've seen God growing me through some very difficult experiences that I never would have chosen for myself. The first of these came in 2009 when my husband Aaron lost his job. And at first it didn't seem like that big of a deal. He would find something new and life would just keep going on exactly as it had been before. But unfortunately, this was also during a time in our country where finding a job was not so easy. This was also when we first decided that we wanted to start building our family. And the second thing that kind of shook our foundation of control, this is because I have a medical condition that leads to infertility. And while the doctors we saw told us it would not be impossible to get pregnant, we knew it wasn't going to be as simple as we thought. Maybe not as romantic as we thought either. By April of 2010, we had undergone several unsuccessful fertility treatments, and we were in such a bad place financially that we had moved out of our apartment into a bedroom in the home of some of our really wonderfully generous friends. And this is just one of the examples of how God showed up in the people around us during a time where it could have been easy to question where God was. We had to put our hopes of having a baby on hold during this time, focusing on getting our finances in order. And what we hoped we could achieve in 6 months actually ended up taking 2 years. So God taught me so much in those 2 years. I learned how to rely on him for patience rather than leaving him out of the equation while I strive to bring things about in my own time. I also learned to rely on him for peace when otherwise I was a ball of anxiety and nerves, wondering how we would ever get out of the mess we were in. He showed me over and over again how faithfully he provides, even when it seems impossible. I learned how to pray for and value his presence more than for specific outcomes. And these are lessons that I wouldn't give up for anything, because they really prepared me for things that were to come next. So that season finally came to an end in 2012, when Aaron and I were back in our own place, more stable financially, and ready to start trying to build our family again. We knew that our infertility was not insurmountable, despite knowing it would be a challenge. But before we even got there, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer and scheduled for surgery in December, last December. So as much as that was a scary time, the thing I remember most was feeling confident in God's love. I really felt that. And I reflected often during that time on that confidence and where it was coming from. I knew the prognosis was excellent and that I would likely be absolutely fine after surgery. But it was more than just that. It was also more than the fact that I had such a great support system. It was the fact that I was praying, speaking, and believing God's word. And my confidence was coming from that foundation, which was unshakable. Again, I couldn't help but be awed and amazed by how grateful I was to be knowing God more fully. The longings that I had prayed for were being fulfilled, those longings to know God more. A few months ago, I was reflecting on all that God had done and was continuing to do in my life. And I really felt him calling me to share that somehow. I ignored it for a long time. Because I get nervous. I wasn't sure exactly how to do this. And along the way, those old familiar voices of doubt crept in. Your life isn't that important, Jenna. What do you have to share? But I knew where those voices were coming from, and they weren't from God. He kept whispering to me that his work was worth sharing and reminded me that it wasn't about me. I was only the vessel through which he was working, and keeping that to myself was keeping his light from shining on anyone but me. It also just so happened that during that time period, I became pregnant and kept thinking about how awesome it would be to showcase God's goodness through that. It was almost like I was looking for that cherry on the top, fairy tale ending to the story. Okay, God, you brought me through this dark time, taught me some important lessons, and now here, you're giving me my heart's desire. It all seemed so perfect. But on September 11th, during a routine ultrasound, I learned that our baby's heart had stopped beating. I was devastated. I couldn't understand how this all fit into the plan. How could this have been God's will? He was the one knitting her together in my womb, so why would he have allowed this to happen? I had prayed to him so many times during those 10 weeks of our baby girl's life that he would protect me from exactly this. And I wondered what he was thinking as I prayed those prayers. Surely he knew what would be. And in the midst of the pain, I was reminded of him and who he is. My pain was not going to change a single one of God's attributes, and I became determined not to let Satan interfere with all the things I knew to be true of God. I certainly didn't know his ways, but I could rest in the promises of his goodness and plans for redemption. He's faithful and shows up even in the midst of our pain. He showed up in the compassion of my husband and the love of my family and friends who provided so much comfort during that time. And while I still have no answers, no way of wrapping this up in a neat and tidy little bow, I know that he will redeem this situation and he'll bring good from it because his word says so. I don't want to present an image of someone who never struggled in the midst of these experiences. It wasn't just a linear journey of believing God, growing my faith, reaching some spiritual mountaintop. Along the way, there was pain. There were tears. There was frustration, anger, confusion. Even though I loved God and trusted in his goodness and faithfulness more than I can really express in words here, I didn't always feel that way. Sometimes I felt like the ground was being pulled from underneath me, that God had forgotten me, or worse yet, that he might not really care about my life. I'm more aware than ever of the importance of following God's call, even when you don't feel capable or qualified. I know for sure that if I hadn't followed his call to ministry, I would not have been prepared for the trials to come. Back in 2007, I felt like when I started with the women's ministry that I was really just acting on obedience because I did not feel qualified for that. But I believe that doing that really set me up for being able to rely on and trust God through the ensuing years in a way I would never have been capable of otherwise. Instead of trying to act like I had faith, I actually experienced it. My experience had given me the confidence to say that I trust him above the hurt, and that even when his ways are not my ways, he is always who he says he is. And I can have hope. And that hope can enable me to live out my faith by letting go of that for which I long, not in a discouraged act of surrender, throwing up my hands, but as an act of faith in God's plan for me, whether it's fulfilling my desires or not. So rather than look for what I think the happy ending to the story will be, I'm trusting in the ending that God has already written. And I'm more motivated than ever to listen for his voice and follow where he leads because he hasn't let me down yet.